This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه واستغفره واستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد جاء في الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يؤتى يوم القيامة بأنعم أهل الدنيا من أهل النار. جاء في صحيح مسلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يؤتى يوم القيامة بأنعم أهل الدنيا من أهل النار فيغمس في النار غمسة ثم يقال له هل مر بك نعيم قط؟ فيقول لا وعزتك. يؤتى بأنعم أهل الدنيا ممن استحقوا النار فيغمس في نار جهنم والعياذ بالله غمسة واحدة ثم يخرج منها ويسأله الله عز وجل هل رأيت نعيما قط؟ فيحلف بعزة الله أنه ما رأى نعيما قط، تنسيه تلك اللحظة كل نعيم الدنيا الذي عاشه سنين. ثم يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مقابل ذلك أنه يؤتى بأتعس أهل الدنيا من أهل الجنة، رجل كان في الدنيا يعيش في شقاء ثم يؤتى به يوم القيامة فيغمس في الجنة غمسة واحدة ثم يخرج منها يتعرض لنعيم الجنة وما فيها مما سمعتموه في الأسبوع الماضي في الخطبة التي ألقاها الدكتور أحمد صبري. يتعرض لنعيم الجنة لحظة واحدة فيسأله الله عز وجل إن كان قد رأى أي شقاء أو تعاسة في حياته قط، فيقول ويحلف بعزة الله لا وعزتك ما رأيت، تنسيه لحظة واحدة يعيشها في الجنة كلما رآه في الدنيا من شقاء وتعاسة وعناء. كان حديثنا في الأسبوع الماضي عن الجنة وما فيها من نعيم، وهو حديث تحبه النفوس وتشتاق إليه، وحتى تتم الفائدة ويحصل التوازن أريد أن أشير إشارة سريعة إلى أن الله عز وجل يقول قل ذلك خير نزلا أم شجرة الزقوم إنا جعلناها فتنة للظالمين إنها شجرة تخرج في أصل الجحيم طلعها كأنه رؤوس الشياطين. فما من آيات تتحدث عن نعيم الجنة إلا وتتبعها آيات تتحدث عما في النار من أهوال. لماذا؟ يقول الله عز وجل ذلك الذي يخوف الله به عباده يا عبادي فاتقون. أما سمعت بأهل النار في النار وعن مقاسات ما يلقون في النار؟ أما سمعت بأغلال تناط بهم فيسحبون بها سحبا على النار؟ أما سمعت بأكباد لهم صدعت خوفا من النار قد ذابت على النار؟ أما سمعت بأجساد لهم نضجت؟ أما سمعت بأجساد لهم نضجت من النار قد ذابت على النار؟ هذه بعض أهوال النار وما فيها. يقول الله عز وجل عن أهل النار وما يلقونه فالذين كفروا قطعت لهم ثياب من نار يصب من فوق رؤوسهم الحميم يصهر به ما في بطونهم والجلود ولهم مقامع من حديد. أيها الإخوة، إن المراد بهذا هو أن يحصل عند المؤمن شيء من الخوف، لأن الخوف من أجل منازل العبودية وأنفعها، وهي فرض على كل واحد منا. يقول الله عز وجل: فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. بل اعلموا أن ما سمعتم عنه في الأسبوع الماضي من النعيم الذي في الجنة لا يكون إلا لمن خاف الله عز وجل، لأن الله عز وجل يقول: ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان. ويقول الله عز وجل: فأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. إذن أيها الإخوة، ينبغي علينا أن نستشعر هذا الخوف، والذي لا يتولد في قلبه خوف لله عز وجل وخوف من الله عز وجل وخشية لله عز وجل، فإن هذا القلب قلب ميت، ينبغي لصاحبه أن يتداركه قبل أن يفوت الفوت. أيها الإخوة، اعلموا أن للخوف فوائد، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من خاف أدلج، من خاف أدلج، ومن أدلج بلغ المنزل، ألا إن سلعة الله غالية، ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة التي سمعتم عن بعض ما فيها من النعيم. يقول أبو حفص عمرو بن مسلمة: الخوف سراج القلب، به يبصر ما فيه من الخير والشر، وكل أحد إذا خفته هربت منه إلا الله عز وجل، فإنك إذا خفته هربت إليه. لذلك يقول الله عز وجل في القرآن: ففروا إلى الله. لم يقل ففروا من الله، لأنه لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه، ولا مهرب منه إلا إليه، بل قال الله عز وجل: ففروا إلى الله. فإن المرء ليس له ملاذ إلا عند الله عز وجل. فأين تذهبون؟ تسأل الآية في القرآن، يسأل الله عز وجل: فأين تذهبون؟ اللهم لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك إلا إليك. أيها الإخوة، واعلموا أن الخوف إذا سكن القلوب أحرق مواضع الشهوات منها وطرد الدنيا عنها. أيها الإخوة، اعلموا أن الناس على الطريق ما لم يزل عنهم الخوف، إنهم على الجادة وعلى الطريق وعلى الصراط المستقيم، ما تمسكوا بالخوف وما كان لديهم وما كان في قلوبهم خوف. أما إذا زال ذلك الخوف فقد ضلوا الطريق. واعلم أن الخوف أنواع، منه ما هو محمود، ومنه ما هو مستحب، ومنه ما هو واجب، ومنه ما هو مذموم. والخوف المحمود الذي ندعو إليه وتدعو إليه الآيات القرآنية، والذي ينبغي أن يتولد في قلوب العباد، هو الخوف الذي يحملهم على العمل، الخوف الذي يحملهم على أن يبذلوا كل شيء حتى يفتدوا أنفسهم من عذاب الله يوم القيامة، الخوف الذي يحمل الإنسان على أن يتقي النار ولو بشق تمرة. أيها الإخوة، اعلموا أيضا أن الخوف والخشية من الله وليد العلم، فإن الإنسان إذا علم بالله وعرف الله عز وجل حق المعرفة تولد لديه الخوف، لأن الله عز وجل يقول: إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. والخوف من الأمور التي ينبغي أن توازن بالرجاء، فينبغي للمؤمن أن يجمع بين الخوف من الله عز وجل والرجاء، ويضيف إلى تلك الأمور كلها المحبة. فلا بد من هذه الأركان الثلاثة حتى يحصل التوازن. لكن السؤال الذي يرد في الأذهان هو: أيهما ينبغي أن يغلب على الآخر، الخوف أم الرجاء؟ قال ابن القيم: السلف، يعني علماؤنا، استحبوا أن يقوي في الصحة جناح الخوف على الرجاء، يعني في حال الصحة وفي حال الشباب ينبغي للمرء أن يغلب جانب الخوف على جانب الرجاء، فيكون عنده معيار الخوف زايد حتى يحجم عن المعاصي وحتى يقف في وجه الشهوات، الخوف يمنعه من ذلك، يحجره عن هذه الأمور كلها. وعند الخروج من الدنيا يقوي جناح الرجاء، فإذا جاء أو اقترب أجله تقوى لديه جانب الرجاء. ومن الأمور الجميلة أيها الإخوة أن الإنسان له أن يتولد عنده الرجاء من الخوف، يعني إذا كان عنده خوف تولد عنده رجاء، يعلم أن الله عز وجل قد يغفر له ويرحمه بخوفه منه. لذلك ورد عن بعض السلف أنه عندما حضرته المنية، عندما حضرته الوفاة، قال: اللهم إني كنت أخافك وإني اليوم أرجوك. وعن آخر أنه سئل عند موته عما يجب فقال: أخاف ذنوبي وأرجو الله عز وجل. فقيل له: والله ما اجتمعتا في قلب عبد في هذا الموضع إلا غفر الله عز وجل له وأمنه مما يخاف وأعطاه ما يرجو. وقال آخرون أنه ينبغي للقلب أن يكون الغالب عليه الخوف، فإنه إذا غلب الرجاء فسد. وأكمل الأحوال أيها الإخوة هو اعتدال الرجاء والخوف وغلبة الحب، فالمحبة هي المركب والرجاء حادم والخوف سائق، والله هو الموصل بمنته ورحمته. واعلموا أن أكمل أنواع الخوف هو خوف السر، والرجل الذي يذكر الله عز وجل خاليا، يعني وهو بمفرده، ويتذكر عظمة الله عز وجل ويتولد لديه شيء من الخوف فتفيض عيناه ويبكي، يظله الله عز وجل يوم القيامة يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. واعلموا أن هناك أسباب ووسائل تورث الخوف من الله عز وجل. أولها إجلال الله وتعظيمه ومعرفة حقارة النفس ودناءتها. ثانيا خشية التقصير في الطاعة والتقصير في المعصية. ثالثا زيادة المرضى أو زيارة المرضى والمصابين، وكذلك زيارة المقابر، فإن هذه الأمور تولد الخوف عند الإنسان وتحمله على أن يتفكر. رابعا تذكر أن الله عز وجل شديد العقاب وأنه إذا أخذ الظالم لم يفلت، وتدبر في مصارع الظالمين ومآلهم وما حال بهم. خامسا تذكر الموت وما فيه، لذلك قيل: اذكروا هالم اللذات. سادسا ملاحظة الله ومراقبته، أن تعلم أن الله عز وجل مطلع عليك وأن الله عز وجل يراقبك في كل صغيرة وكبيرة. سابعا تذكر الخاتمة وأن تخاف أن يختم لك بخاتمة سوء. ثامنا تدبر آيات القرآن وما فيها من الوعيد، كتلك الآيات التي كانت تتلى على مسامعكم قبل صلاة أو قبل الخطبة، آيات شديدة عظيمة. بعض هذه الآيات أيها الإخوة نستمع لها ونحن نطرب لها بسبب الصوت أو كذا، ولا نعلم أن من هذه الآيات ما صرع أشد الرجال عندما تفكروا فيها. عمر رضي الله عنه مر بالمسجد وأبي يقرأ في الصلاة فإذا نقر في الناقور، فذلك يومئذ يوم عسير على الكافرين غير يسير، فخر مغشيا عليه وزاره الناس وعادوه شهرا كاملا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو صاحب المقام المحمود وصاحب الشفاعة العظمى وهو الذي غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر، نزلت عليه: هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟ فخرج ويداه على رأسه يقول: نعم أتاني، نعم أتاني. وقال: لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا. فتدبر آيات القرآن أيها الإخوة من شأنها أن توقظنا من غفلتنا وأن تولد لدينا هذا الخوف. تاسعا المحافظة على الفرائض والتزود من النوافل وملازمة الذكر. إن الإنسان إذا حافظ على الطاعات ولازم الذكر تولد عنده الخوف، لأنه يخشى أن تذهب ثمرات أعماله هذه هباء منثورا. عاشرا أيها الإخوة، وينبغي علينا أن نحرص على هذا، هو مجالسة الصالحين والاستماع لنصائحهم ومذاكرة أخبار أهل الإيمان وأهل الخوف من سلف هذه الأمة. هذه الأمور كلها من شأنها أن ترطب القلوب، ومن شأنها أن تولد عند الإنسان الخوف. وكما قلنا، الخوف من خاف في هذه الدنيا أمن يوم القيامة، ومن لم يخف من الله عز وجل في هذه الدنيا فإنه سيأتي يوم لا ينفع فيه عند الله عز وجل الاعتذار، يوم لا ينفع الظالمين معذرتهم ولهم اللعنة ولهم سوء الدار. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and placed him in paradise. And then, for a short period of time, and then Adam was tempted. He was prohibited from one tree, one single tree in paradise. He was told not to eat from it. While he can enjoy anything else, endless number of trees, but that one tree, stay away from it. And Adam was tempted. And Adam sinned, and he ate from that tree. And the result of that sin was that he was removed from paradise and placed on this planet. And then here we are. And he was told that when guidance comes to him and his followers and his children and his descendants, whoever follows that guidance will go back home, paradise. You were told about some of the blessings of paradise last week. Brothers and sisters, for the believer, that is home. And that's what one of us, and every single one of us actually, has to be aiming to and wishing for, to go home, paradise. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whoever fears the fall of the night will hurry up to go home, and whoever hurries up will reach home before the fall of the night. And in this metaphor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alluding to paradise. If you want to reach paradise before it's too late, then you have to hurry up and you have to fear, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith. And then he said, ala inna sil'ata Allahi jannah, ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghali, that indeed the commodity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paradise, and it's very precious, and you have to pay the price. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the successful ones are those who are removed from hellfire and placed in paradise. So before we get to hell, to paradise, we have to be removed from hellfire. And in order to bring the balance between what you have heard last week, I ought to mention to you that there is something called hell. Hellfire. And to talk about it is so terrifying. I couldn't even go through it. But brothers and sisters, let me just relate to you a hadith that might give you an idea of how horrible and how terrifying hellfire is. The Prophet says, in an authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, that a man from the people of hellfire who happened to be in this life, who lived in this life the most luxurious lifestyle ever, the most glamorous lifestyle, who had access to everything. That person will be brought in on the Day of Judgment, and he will be dipped in hellfire for a moment. And then he will be pulled out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Himself, will ask him, "Have you seen any blessings? Have you seen, do you remember anything good ever happening to you?" And he will say, "Nay," and he will swear by the glory of Allah that he had never seen any good in his life. That one moment in hellfire will wipe out all the good memories and all the fun that he had in this life. One moment. You can imagine. The people of hellfire will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will beg the dwellers of paradise for some water, for some mercy, for some break to catch their breath. And they won't be given that. Why? Those who did not care about things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited in this life, it will be said to them, "Inna Allah harramahuma 'ala al-kafirin." The water and all these blessings that we have in this life that we're not even being charged for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will declare them to be prohibited on the dwellers of hellfire. Why am I saying this? Because we need to balance. We need to bring the balance. We need to balance this hope and sometimes this false sense of security that we may have with some fear, because fear is good, brothers and sisters. Fear, or what was known as al-khawf, is one of the greatest stations on the road to paradise. And the scholars of the past talked about it. There is a positive type of fear that every believer has to have in his heart and her heart. And that's what we are talking about, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, chapter 3, verse 175. "So fear them not, but fear me if you are believers." Brothers, please move forward, filling all the gaps, and do not block the entrance. And Allah the Almighty says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 40, "And fear none but me." So Allah is asking us to fear Him. And we ought to fear Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compliments a special group of people and He praises them. "Verily, those who live in awe for fear of their Lord. It is these who race for the good deeds, and they are foremost in them." So this is the point. A fear that will trigger this desire of wanting to do good, so you are protected from that which you fear. There is a different type of fear that the scholars mention. And this is even a higher level and a higher station, and it's called khashya. And it's more specific than khawf. For khashya is a quality that is particular of the people of knowledge. It comes with knowledge, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 35, verse 28 said, "Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama." It is only those who have knowledge among His slaves that fear Allah, that have khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, because khashya is associated with knowledge, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Indeed, I have the most piety of Allah and I have the greatest khashya from Him." And before he made that statement, he said, "Ama inni a'lamukum billah." I'm the most knowledgeable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any one of you. So if you get to know Allah azza wa jal and understand His attributes, that will trigger some fear in your hearts. Khawf may be a movement and a reaction in the heart, where khashya actually causes action and it brings some tranquility. And every one of us needs it. The scholars of the past warned their followers and their students. And they said, if a heart lacks fear, it will be ruined. Brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who fear Him. I say this and I ask Allah to make us of those who listen and follow the vessel for they listen to. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. أبو حفص رحمه الله said that khawf is the whip of Allah. He corrects with it those who stray away from the path. And he also said that khawf or fear is the light of the heart. With it one could tell good from bad, virtue from vice. Everyone who fears, and here's the catch, everyone who fears something or someone will have to run away from it. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if you fear Allah azza wa jal, the only choice and the only option that you have is to run to Him. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, said in the Quran, flee to Allah. For no one can flee away from Allah or escape. So the only option, the only resort, the only choice that you have is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to run to Him. Brothers and sisters, the fear that we're talking about here is the fear that should cause you to work with diligence. And know that fear has to be balanced with some hope. Fear has to be balanced with some hope. This is very important. The scholars talked about how one should have, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is reported to have said, that the commendable khawf or fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which restrains you from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, raja or hope complements it. And one has to balance. One has to balance the two. You don't want to have too much fear, because you're going to fall into a state of despair. But also having too much hope will give you a false sense of security. And this is what you ought to fear the most. At least if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more in this life, you might have a chance to be secure and you might have a chance to be safe in the hereafter. But what happens to those people who have too much sense, this false sense of security, and they have wishful thinking? They will come on the day of judgment and they are setting themselves up to the greatest disappointment of their life. And this is what used to terrify the scholars of the past. وَبَدَى لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. When some people will come on the day of judgment and it will appear to them, that day will appear to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which they have not prepared themselves for. So should we have more fear or should we have more hope? Abu Sulaiman said, the heart ought to have more khawf. When raja dominates, it ruins it. While others, they said, the best state is to have some amount of khawf and raja in a balanced way and have more love. For love is the boat, and raja or hope is the leader, and khawf or fear is the driver. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will help us reach our goals and reach our destinations. Brothers and sisters, This life is full of opportunities. And opportunities sometimes are not repeated. So here is the message that I want you to go home with. Anytime you are presented with any opportunity, think of it as your last and the only opportunity that you have. Or think of it as the one opportunity, the one deed that will get you to paradise and protect you from the wrath of Allah. One of my teachers once said to me, listen, treat every opportunity as if it is the one, because you never know which of your deeds are accepted. So every opportunity, no matter how little it may be. And he gave me the example of a man who removed a branch of a tree that was on the road to protect people, an act of courtesy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that one little deed, and because he was so sincere, and because it was so subtle, and he did it purely for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla, not to show off, nothing, none of that. It was accepted, and that's what got him to earn the mercy of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his sins because of that little deed. So he said, treat every little opportunity, no matter how little it may be, as if it is the chance that you have to make it to paradise. And people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear the punishment of the grave, and fear the punishment of the hereafter, and fear hellfire, that's how they treat every opportunity. Brothers and sisters, I've talked in the past about guarding ourselves and protecting ourselves and our children from hellfire. And that doesn't happen with just with us making wishes. We have to work hard at it. We have youth program every weekend. And every Friday night we have a youth program here in the masjid. And we are not seeing any more growth. And subhanAllah, yesterday it came to my knowledge, some horrible stories of how kids are suffering. People that whose parents think that, oh, they're doing well, they are suffering. And we'll talk about this next week. This will be the topic of next week. We have to repeat it and we have to talk about it. And this time, as opposed to what I did last time, I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to share those stories with you, because you have to know. And I have to bring it to the floor. We have to do something about it. Otherwise, those children that we are counting on to pray for us after we die, they're not going to be praying for us. They may be cursing us. So we have to work hard. Until then, brothers and sisters, we have a Friday night program. We have an amazing youth coordinator here with us. We have an awesome group of people who are working with the youth. Bring your children and come yourself and benefit. Tonight we have an amazing speaker who's affiliated with the local mass chapter, Brother Muhammad Nasir, who's giving a speech about leadership in Islam. Come to it, attend it. This is for the adults. And then for the youth, we have a program. Come and join us. In addition to that, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity, and maybe a last call, for you to free this message from death. And I'll talk to you about that after the salah. Seize the opportunity, seize the moment. You never know, this could be it. And the best of deeds and actions is that which is done when the person feels that softness in the heart. Do it for the sake of Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your deeds and to bless you and bless your children and your families and protect you. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم امر بالامه الاسلاميه امرا رشدا يعز فيه اهل طاعتك ويذل فيه اهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة مهديين لا ضالين ولا مضلين سلما لاوليائك حربا على اعدائك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اصلح لنا شاننا كله ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفه عين. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Invoke Allah's peace and blessing upon His Messenger. That will bring some peace, that will bring some tranquility to your hearts. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim. وبارك على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Brothers and sisters, we have a very important event, and I encourage you. This is not really meant for Muslims, but it's meant for non-Muslims. We have an open house next Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, the 19th of August. We have flyers out there. Take as many as you wish and hand it out to your neighbors or your colleagues, anyone that you think might need this, and everybody, you know, needs it. But there are some people, I know that each and every single one of us has friends, colleagues, co-workers that might have some interest in knowing about Islam, might have some questions. Hand them this postcard. You never know. So we have it not this Sunday, the following Sunday from noon until 5 o'clock. We have an open house with plenty of information and plenty of people to provide guidance and to answer questions. Do not forget, the title of this open house is What is the Purpose of Life? I say this and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you for any attempt that you make to provide or to facilitate guidance to people. Wa aqim as-salah. سئل عند موته عما يجب فقال أخاف ذنوبي وأرجو الله عز وجل. فقيل له والله ما اجتمعتا في قلب عبد في هذا الموضع إلا غفر الله عز وجل له وأمله مما يخاف وأعطاه ما يرجو. وقال آخرون أنه ينبغي للقلب أن يكون الغالب عليه الخوف فإنه إذا غلب الرجاء فسد. وأكمل الأحوال أيها الإخوة هو اعتدال الرجاء والخوف وغلبة الحب، فالمحبة هي المركب والرجاء حاجم والخوف سائق، والله هو الموصل بمنته ورحمته. واعلموا أن أكمل أنواع الخوف هو خوف السر. والرجل الذي يذكر الله عز وجل خاليا، يعني وهو بمفرده، ويتذكر عظمة الله عز وجل ويتولد لديه شيء من الخوف فتفيض عيناه ويبكي، يظله الله عز وجل يوم القيامة يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. واعلموا أن هناك أسباب ووسائل تورث الخوف من الله عز وجل. أولها إجلال الله وتعظيمه ومعرفة حقارة النفس ودناءتها. ثانيا خشية التقصير في الطاعة والتقصير في المعصية. ثالثا زيادة المرضى أو زيارة المرضى والمصابين، وكذلك زيارة المقابر، فإن هذه الأمور تولد الخوف عند الإنسان وتحمله على أن يتفكر. رابعا تذكر أن الله عز وجل شديد العقاب وأنه إذا أخذ الظالم لم يفلت، وتدبر في مصارع الظالمين ومآلهم وما حال بهم. خامسا تذكر الموت وما فيه، لذلك قيل اذكروا هادم اللذات. سادسا ملاحظة الله ومراقبته، أن تعلم أن الله عز وجل مطلع عليك وأن الله عز وجل يراقبك في كل صغيرة وكبيرة. سابعا تذكر الخاتمة وأن تخاف أن يختم لك بخاتمة سوء. ثامنا تدبر آيات القرآن وما فيها من الوعيد، كتلك الآيات التي كانت تتلى على مسامعكم قبل صلاة أو قبل الخطبة، آيات شديدة عظيمة. بعض هذه الآيات أيها الإخوة نستمع لها ونحن نطرب لها بسبب الصوت أو كذا، ولا نعلم أن من هذه الآيات ما صرع أشد الرجال عندما تفكروا فيها. عمر رضي الله عنه مر بالمسجد وأبي يقرأ في الصلاة فإذا نقر في الناقور، فذلك يومئذ يوم عسير على الكافرين غير يسير، فخر مغشيا عليه وزاره الناس وعادوه شهرا كاملا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو صاحب المقام المحمود وصاحب الشفاعة العظمى وهو الذي غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر نزلت عليه هل أتاك حديث الغاشية فخرج ويداه على رأسه يقول نعم أتاني نعم أتاني وقال لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا فتدبر آيات القرآن أيها الإخوة من شأنها أن توقظنا من غفلتنا وأن تولد لدينا هذا الخوف تاسعا المحافظة على الفرائض والتزود من النوافل وملازمة الذكر إن الإنسان إذا حافظ على الطاعات ولازم الذكر تولد عنده الخوف لأنه يخشى أن تذهب ثمرات أعماله هذه هباء منثورا عاشرا أيها الإخوة وينبغي علينا أن نحرص على هذا هو مجالسة الصالحين والاستماع لنصائحهم ومذاكرة أخبار أهل الإيمان وأهل الخوف من سلف هذه الأمة هذه الأمور كلها من شأنها أن ترطب القلوب ومن شأنها أن تولد عند الإنسان الخوف وكما قلنا الخوف من خاف في هذه الدنيا أمن يوم القيامة ومن لم يخف من الله عز وجل في هذه الدنيا فإنه سيأتي يوم لا ينفع فيه عند الله عز وجل الاعتذار يوم لا ينفع الظالمين معذرتهم ولهم اللعنة ولهم سوء الدار Dear brothers and sisters in Islam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and placed him in paradise and then for a short period of time and then Adam was tempted he was prohibited from one tree, one single tree in paradise. He was told not to eat from it. While he can enjoy anything else, endless number of trees, but that one tree, stay away from it. And Adam was tempted. And Adam sinned, and he ate from that tree. And the result of that sin was that he was removed from paradise and placed on this planet. And then here we are. And he was told that when guidance comes to him and his followers and his children and his descendants, whoever follows that guidance will go back home, paradise. You were told about some of the blessings of paradise last week. Brothers and sisters, for the believer, that is home. And that's what one of us, and every single one of us actually, has to be aiming to and wishing for, to go home, paradise. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whoever fears the fall of the night will hurry up to go home. And whoever hurries up will reach home before the fall of the night. And in this metaphor, the Prophet ﷺ was alluding to paradise. If you want to reach paradise before it's too late, then you have to hurry up. And you have to fear. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith, and then he said, "Ala inna silat Allahi jannah, ala inna silat Allahi ghaliyah." That indeed, the commodity of Allah subhanahu wa taala is paradise, and it's very precious, and you have to pay the price, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa taala says in the Quran. That the successful ones are those who are removed from hellfire and placed in paradise. So before we get to hell to paradise, we have to be removed from hellfire. And in order to bring the balance between what you have heard last week, I ought to mention to you that there is something called hell. Hellfire. And to talk about it is so terrifying. I couldn't even go through it. But brothers and sisters, let me just relate to you a hadith that might give you an idea of how horrible and how terrifying hellfire is. The Prophet says, in an authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, that a man from the people of hellfire, who happened to be in this life, who lived in this life, the most luxurious lifestyle ever, the most glamorous lifestyle, who had access to everything, that person will be brought in on the Day of Judgment, and he will be dipped in hellfire for a moment. And then he will be pulled out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Himself, will ask him, "Have you seen any blessings? Have you seen, do you remember anything good ever happening to you?" And he will say, "Nay," and he will swear by the glory of Allah that he had never seen any good in his life. That one moment in hellfire will wipe out all the good memories and all the fun that he had in this life. One moment. You can imagine. The people of hellfire will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will beg the dwellers of paradise for some water, for some mercy, for some break to catch their breath. And they won't be given that. Why? Those who did not care about things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited in this life, it will be said to them, "Inna Allah harramahuma 'ala al-kafirin." The water and all these blessings that we have in this life that we're not even being charged for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will declare them to be prohibited on the dwellers of hellfire. Why am I saying this? Because we need to balance. We need to bring the balance. We need to balance this hope and sometimes this false sense of security that we may have with some fear, because fear is good, brothers and sisters. Fear, or what was known as al-khawf, is one of the greatest stations on the road to paradise. And the scholars of the past talked about it. There is a positive type of fear that every believer has to have in his heart and her heart. And that's what we are talking about, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, chapter 3, verse 175. "So fear them not, but fear me if you are believers." Brothers, please move forward, filling all the gaps, and do not block the entrance. And Allah the Almighty says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 40, "And fear none but me." So Allah is asking us to fear Him. And we ought to fear Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compliments a special group of people and He praises them. "Verily, those who live in awe for fear of their Lord, it is these who race for the good deeds, and they are foremost in them." So this is the point. A fear that will trigger this desire of wanting to do good, so you are protected from that which you fear. There is a different type of fear that the scholars mention. And this is even a higher level and a higher station. And it's called khashya. And it's more specific than khawf. For khashya is a quality that is particular of the people of knowledge. It comes with knowledge, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 35, verse 28 said, "إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ." It is only those who have knowledge among His slaves that fear Allah, that have khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, Because khashiyah is associated with knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, I have the most piety of Allah and I have the greatest khashiyah from Him." And before he made that statement, he said, "Ama inni a'lamukum billah." I'm the most knowledgeable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any one of you. So if you get to know Allah Azza wa Jal and understand His attributes, that will trigger some fear in your hearts. Khawf may be movement and a reaction in the heart, where khashiyah actually causes action and it brings some tranquility. And every one of us needs it. The scholars of the past warned their followers and their students. And they said, if a heart lacks fear, it will be ruined. Brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who fear Him. I say this and I ask Allah to make us of those who listen and follow the vessel for they listen to. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لَهُ. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. أبو حفص رحمه الله said that خوف is the whip of Allah. He corrects with it those who stray away from the path. And he also said that khawf or fear is the light of the heart. With it one could tell good from bad, virtue from vice. Everyone who fears, and here's the catch, everyone who fears something or someone will have to run away from it. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if you fear Allah azza wa jal, the only choice and the only option that you have is to run to Him. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, said in the Quran, "Flee to Allah." For no one can flee away from Allah or escape. So the only option, the only resort, the only choice that you have is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to run to Him. Brothers and sisters, the fear that we're talking about here is the fear that should cause you to work with diligence. And know that fear has to be balanced with some hope. Fear has to be balanced with some hope. This is very important. The scholars talked about how one should have, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is reported to have said, that the commendable khawf or fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which restrains you from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, raja or hope complements it. And one has to balance. One has to balance the two. You don't want to have too much fear, because you're going to fall into a state of despair. But also having too much hope will give you a false sense of security. And this is what you ought to fear the most. At least if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more in this life, you might have a chance to be secure and you might have a chance to be safe in the hereafter. But what happens to those people who have too much sense, this false sense of security, and they have wishful thinking? They will come on the day of judgment and they are setting themselves up to the greatest disappointment of their life. And this is what used to terrify the scholars of the past. وَبَدَى لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. When some people will come on the day of judgment and it will appear to them, that day will appear to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which they have not prepared themselves for. So should we have more fear or should we have more hope? Abu Sulaiman said, the heart ought to have more khawf. When raja' dominates, it ruins it. While others, they said, the best state is to have some amount of khawf and raja' in a balanced way and have more love. For love is the boat. And raja' or hope is the leader. And khawf or fear is the driver. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will help us reach our goals and reach our destinations. Brothers and sisters, this life is full of opportunities. And opportunities sometimes are not repeated. So here is the message that I want you to go home with. Anytime you are presented with any opportunity, think of it as your last and the only opportunity that you have. Or think of it as the one opportunity, the one deed that will get you to paradise and protect you from the wrath of Allah. One of my teachers once said to me, listen, treat every opportunity as if it is the one, because you never know which of your deeds are accepted. So every opportunity, no matter how little it may be. And he gave me the example of a man who removed a branch of a tree that was on the road to protect people, an act of courtesy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that one little deed, and because he was so sincere, and because it was so subtle, and he did it purely for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla, not to show off, nothing, none of that. It was accepted, and that's what got him to earn the mercy of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave his sins because of it, because of that little deed. So he said, treat every little opportunity, no matter how little it may be, as if it is the chance that you have to make it to paradise. And people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear the punishment of the grave, and fear the punishment of the hereafter, and fear hellfire, that's how they treat every opportunity. Brothers and sisters, I've talked in the past about guarding ourselves and protecting ourselves and our children from hellfire. And that doesn't happen with just with us making wishes. We have to work hard at it. We have youth program every weekend, and every Friday night we have a youth program here in the masjid, and we are not seeing any more growth. And subhanAllah, yesterday it came to my knowledge, some horrible stories of how kids are suffering. People that whose parents think that, oh, they're doing well, they are suffering. And we'll talk about this next week. This will be the topic of next week. We have to repeat it and we have to talk about it. And this time, as opposed to what I did last time, I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to share those stories with you, because you have to know. And I have to bring it to the floor. We have to do something about it. Otherwise, those children that we are counting on to pray for us after we die, they're not going to be praying for us. They may be cursing us. So we have to work hard. Until then, brothers and sisters, we have a Friday night program. We have an amazing youth coordinator here with us. We have an awesome group of people who are working with the youth. Bring your children and come yourself and benefit. Tonight we have an amazing speaker who's affiliated with the local mass chapter, Brother Muhammad Nasir, who's giving a speech about leadership in Islam. Come to it, attend it. This is for the adults. And then for the youth, we have a program. Come and join us. In addition to that, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity, and maybe it may be a last call, for you to free this message from death. And I'll talk to you about that after the salah. Seize the opportunity, seize the moment. You never know, this could be it. And the best of deeds and actions is that which is done when the person feels that softness in the heart. Do it for the sake of Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your deeds and to bless you and bless your children and your families and protect you. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين، اللهم امر بالدعوة الاسلام امرا رشدا، يعز فيه اهل طاعتك ويذل فيه اهل معصيتك، ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة مهديين لا ضالين ولا مضلين سلما لأوليائك حربا على أعدائك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Invoke Allah's peace and blessings upon His Messenger. That will bring some peace, and that will bring some tranquility to your hearts. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad abdika wa rasulika nabiyyi al-ummi wa ala alihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyatihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammad abdika wa rasulika nabiyyi al-ummi wa ala alihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyatihi kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Brothers and sisters, we have a very important event. And I encourage you, this is not really meant for Muslims, but it's meant for non-Muslims. We have an open house next Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, the 19th of August. We have flyers out there. Take as many as you wish and hand it out to your neighbors or your colleagues, anyone that you think might need this, and everybody, you know, needs it. But there are some people, I know that each and every single one of us has friends, colleagues, co-workers that might have some interest in knowing about Islam, might have some questions. Hand them this postcard. You never know. So we have it this, not this Sunday, the following Sunday, from noon until 5 o'clock. We have an open house with plenty of information and plenty of people to provide guidance and to answer questions. Do not forget the title of this open house is what is the purpose of life. I say this and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you for any attempt that you make to provide or to facilitate guidance to people. Wa aqim as-salah.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.